The funeral of Pope John Paul II was held this morning in St. Peter's Square. Since the Pope's death last Saturday, the sight of bishops and cardinals resplendent in bright robes has become a familiar one. Wondering where these sartorial traditions began, we turn to an expert. Father Mark Francis is a professor of liturgy here in Rome, and he's steeped in the history of the vestments of the Catholic clergy. He met us at a shop near the Pantheon. It's named after the Barbaconi family, which has been selling clothes to Catholic priests for nearly 200 years. Father Francis says a good thing to know if you're trying to tell the players apart is that everything is color-coded. Black for priests, add red piping for monsignors, violet for the bishops, and for the princes of the church, red.
The idea behind the color is basically that this person is going to spill his blood for the faith if need be, is going to give his life. And so most probably the association of red with the papal color of mourning has to also to do with the fact that a pope also is to really give himself to the extent that he could become a martyr.
I think many people watching on television, and especially non-Catholics, will be looking at these cardinals and they're seeing a skull cap. Mm-hmm. And they'll think, well, that's just like a yarmulke, mm-hmm. a Jewish headgear that we're real familiar with. Is there any connection?
Not really. The skullcap comes from the ancient practice in the church. When one became a cleric, the center of one's head was shaved. And that was called the tonsure. And so this hat, whether it be red or purple or black, depending upon one's ecclesiastical rank, one wore this over the tonsure, especially in cold churches. And when you look at the history of cardinals, you know that up until the 18th, 19th century here in Rome, the cardinals were treated as princes. So when they went through the town, all the traffic was stopped. They had a long train that, especially for formal occasions, it was fringed in ermine.
Ermine, of course, being that precious spotted fur worn by princes and kings in fairy tales. What you see today are cardinals wearing a modified version, ermine capes. Eastern Catholic bishops from Egypt to Syria wear crowns. And then there are the bishop's mitres, those tall, pointed, and double-sided hats, often embroidered in heavy gold, today at the funeral. Pure white.
This particular form really dates from the Middle Ages, but is based on a late Roman headgear, and it was a sign of being an imperial magistrate, kind of like a crown, actually, a metal crown. As the church migrated to the north, especially the cold countries of the north, it was very uncomfortable to wear a metal kind of headgear, and so they began to cover it with cloth. And over a period of time, it grew bigger and bigger. There are two horns to a mitre. They're supposed to represent the Old and New Testament.
How far back does the liturgical garb go, these outfits?
I would say the 4th, 5th, and 6th century. Basically, the vestments that we have are all based on secular dress from the late classic period of the Roman Empire. Thank God they got rid of togas, because togas were notoriously hard to wear.
What about things that are carried? And I'm thinking about, say, a pastoral staff.
Yeah, that's also called a crozier. It's carried by bishops. And basically what it is, it's a shepherd's crook. The Pope, however, began to use, instead of a pastoral staff, began to use a staff with a crucifix on the top, which is something particular to the Pope. And when he lied in state, for example, that staff was right next to him.
Father Francis says a lot of finery is on display today. But in its essence, he says, a funeral for a pope is like any other.
There's a special rite for it given the solemnity of the occasion. But in essence, a papal funeral is no different from any other funeral that would be celebrated in the church in terms of the basics. Despite all the splendor of St. Peter's and the wonderful vestments and all the people and all that kind of thing, essentially what we're doing for the pope is what we would do for anyone who would die.
Father Mark Francis is the Superior General of the Clerics of St. Viator. He's also a professor of liturgy here in Rome. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
The sounds of St. Peter's Square this morning.
Orimus Deus, omnium fidelium pastor et rector,
Look upon your family, united in prayer, and grant to your servant and our Pope, John Paul, who in the love of Christ presided over your church, to share with the flock entrusted to him the reward promised to the faithful ministers of the gospel.
Pour notre pape défunt, Jean-Paul II,
pour tous nous ici réunis, afin de
para salahat ng katauhan, salahat ng bansa, sapagkat
für alle verstorbenen Gläubigen, wir bitten den Herrn, dass sie würdig befunden werden, um in das himmlische.
On October 1, 1979, John Paul II spoke in Boston. It was the first of seven visits to the United States.
I come as one who already knows you and loves you, as one who wishes you to fulfill completely your noble destiny of service to the world. Although it is not possible for me to enter into every home, to greet personally every man and woman, to caress every child in whose eyes is reflected the innocence of love. Still, I feel close to all of you, and you are all in my prayers.
Our coverage here in Rome was produced by Jim Wildman, Julia Redpath Buckley, and Jeff Rosenberg, with engineer Mitch Eaton. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. With Steve Inskeep in Washington, I'm Renee Montaigne in Vatican City.